Good morning. My name's Paul Tolley, and it's time for our monthly check-in chat with the Mayor, Mr. Sam Copeland. Welcome to the studio, Sam.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Great to be here.
It's looked to me, from looking at council minutes and other things, that perhaps this has been a quieter month for council, but this may not be your experience.
I think there's been a lot going on at council, but in terms of what came before the recent council meeting, yes, that was pretty light. We're going to see it step up towards the end of the year. Well, actually, next month we have the mayor and deputy mayor midterm elections, so that'll be, you know, I may not be here.
Interesting.
Interesting.
We live in interesting times.
We do. But there'll be a few more things to roll out as well over the next few months.
One thing I noticed is that the consultation is going to begin on the active transport strategy. That'll be obviously happening within council, but is this an opportunity for ratepayers and citizens to comment as well?
That period has been and gone. So throughout August,
sorry,
that's all right. Throughout August, there was a survey that was opened, and there were admittedly we're the last day of August. And there were also stalls set up at the farmers market, I think on about the 14th of August, and also up at Gyra on Saturday the 13th of August to get some input from the community there. So the active transport strategy is to look at all different modes of transport and reasons why people, you know, to get to school, to get to work, etc. But to get them out of a car and either walk, cycle, skip.
Yeah, I noted that one of the important parts of it was to encourage people to embrace a healthier lifestyle, if you like, get out and walk, cycle, get out in the fresh air.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Look, the strategy will be developed, then it will come before council, then it'll be on come before council to go on public exhibition. So there will be another opportunity for the community to comment. Then before it's adopted, we really need that strategy in place to be able to go out and seek government funding. Okay. So if we need, you know, better cycleways, better footpaths, etc., we can't just make it up. They need to see that it is part of a bigger plan.
Yes, you need to validate your proposals.
That's
in
right,
effect, don't you?
Yes.
Now, the mayoral minute, and we talked a little briefly about this last week, but I noted that you had a mayoral meeting at council about the retention of the APVMA in Armidale, and you basically, to quote you, you suggested that council write to the minister, expressing council's strong opposition to any proposed move and call upon the minister to provide certainty that jobs will be retained in Armidale regardless of the outcomes of any proposed management or cultural review.
Well, not surprisingly, all of my fellow councillors supported that that mayoral minute, because the APVMA, it is crucial that it's retained here, or certainly those jobs are retained here in whatever form the APVMA may take. And we spoke about this last month. Mm. The window for the rapid review, which is a strange term, but the rapid review that the minister has requested from a fellow called Ken Matthews, he is due to report back at the end of September. So we have a month and a day. And this is just about putting another, you know, a little bit of pressure on the minister, regardless of what the review says, for him to be left in no uncertain terms what the community expectation is. And I know I'd mentioned when we spoke last time about getting my fellow country mayors on side and things like that. So I still have a few more options up my sleeve. There are also some things that I'm doing in the background. Absolutely everything that can reasonably be done to ensure that jobs remain in Armidale.
I must say that as a media person, one thing struck me as a little odd about that, and that was the section that said, regardless of the outcomes of any proposed management or cultural review. And immediately in my mind, I thought, is that the way council would do it? Spend a bucket of money on a review and then expect to do nothing? I mean, it just seemed a very odd approach. I don't think council would do that. I mean, I think if you're position, you do a review, you at least listen to or read the response.
Sorry,
the outcome.
Well, maybe that's the way it's worded. My real point behind it, and what will go in the letter, and it's what I've said publicly, is regardless of the outcome of the review, the jobs can stay here. So if there needs to be structural change or there needs to be cultural change,
yes,
then jobs stay here in Armidale, but you can change behaviours and work on that. That's really what we're talking
about.
And
I'm coming from the perspective of a person who's written commercials and written press releases,
yes.
And who goes through the words with a very fine tooth comb to make sure I'm saying exactly what I mean and no more and no less.
Well, I'll be putting the finishing touches to the letter this week, so I will look on with interest.
And I think we all would like to keep the jobs in Armidale and keep the money that flows in, although I think the dollar benefit of having it in Armidale has increased a little from an earlier suggestion. But I mean, I don't think you're going to get much argument in town over that one.
No, that's right. People want the jobs here. The minister just needs to know that what the community expectation is, and you know, just certainly what the optics will be if jobs are reabsorbed back into Canberra.
Although from a political point of view, I would have to say that keeping it here or not keeping it here probably isn't going to do much to change the result of elections. We always look at the political and the actual, and I think from that perspective...
I suspect you're right.
coming up is the local government, the New South Wales annual conference. I think three of you are going from Armidale...
That's right.
Regional Council. I know these are important, and these will be an opportunity again for you to talk with people and talk to fellow mayors and councillors, particularly regionally, about the previous item we discussed. But are there any other potential benefits or implications for our council and our region?
Look, there are. So Armidale has three voting delegates, and... So depending on the size of the council, depends on the number of votes that each council has. What I've noticed, so I've been to two local government conferences now, LGNSW conferences, is that the city often, or the metro areas, carry the day because they have more votes. Or, more accurately, they have more delegates turn up to the conference, which means that LGNSW tends to adopt positions that are more metro-centric.
Sydney, Newcastle, Wollongong.
Yes. And it's just not right. And so us as a group of... certainly this came up at the Country Mayors Association, that we need to make sure that we get our maximum number of delegates... to this meeting and try and, you know, push regional interests more. Because what really rocked me the first one I went to is that if a motion was put forward that was city-centric, most of the regional delegates voted, you know, the way that the city wanted to go, because that was important to him. The same courtesy wasn't extended. So when there were specific things that had a regional tinge to it, they often got voted down because... Mm. And that's not right. So we need to make sure that all of the regional councils send their maximum number of delegates and try and tip the scales. This is particularly important with the current state government, that LGNSW is actually advocating for regional areas.
So I'm sure we'll... talk about this after you've attended, but just go back to my question. Maybe you don't want to show your hand, I don't know, but are there any potential benefits or implications that you're aware of up front for this region?
For this region specifically, it's probably going to be water.
As we keep talking about.
I have met with the water minister, and she has said, look, her children of concern are Tamworth, Bathurst and Orange, but we would be the next level down. So we just need to ensure that the state government is going to, you know, follow through on water promises. So whilst what we advocate for may not directly benefit Armidale in the immediate term, to not do so could be hugely disadvantageous to our region in the longer term.
So by water promises, you're really talking about funding, aren't you?
Oh, everything's funding. Yeah. So it's really about what does the LGNSW board, that's Local Government New South Wales board, what are they going to be advocating for? And if we can have a few more regional delegates on that board, because there's also some board positions coming up for election as well. So some more, if the board comprises more than 50% regional people, that would be hugely beneficial.
So while we're talking about water, can I just say that I noted on the council agenda, Public Works Advisory Consultation on Water and Willingness to Pay. Do you want to tell me what this is? And obviously, yeah. I have to ask the question, is this potentially another impost on a financial or on Armidale ratepayers? Or what, in fact, is this? Because I didn't get a full sense of what it might be.
That's a small part of a broader Public Works Authority report and an integrated water management strategy. So Councillor Robinson, who's our Greens councillor, is very concerned about water usage and minimising water usage. Part of the integrated water management strategy that is being undertaken and reviewed by Public Works Authority will include a... This is sort of a pimple on a pumpkin of a much bigger report, will include a study into capacity to pay.
Can I mention something while we're talking about water in that respect? And this is at a very micro level, but I have a water tank in my back garden. Water runs off my roof. It's a very new roof, no lead, nothing of that nature. I'm only allowed to connect it in the house to the toilet and the washing machine. I'm not allowed to connect it to the kitchen. I asked the question. I was prepared to buy a high-quality water filter and service my kitchen with that. And there are obviously Australian standards, so council couldn't affect, say, if you want to use it in any other area of the house, you have to have a filter that meets a particular Australian standard. But it seems as though if I live 1 metre outside Armidale's boundary, suddenly the water for me out of my tank is safe. But if I live within Armidale's 1 metre this way, it's not safe. And, I mean, it may be... Yeah. Long-term, something that might encourage more people to put water tanks in and use water.
That's a really good point, Paul. I'll have to take that on board.
All right. Just while we're talking water, yeah, sure. And part of the reason I wanted to ask the other question. The draft Renewable Energy Community Benefit Framework, this is something that's becoming more important, and we're thinking renewables, we're looking at wind farms in the area. I suspect that all of these feed into this, do they?
They do. So how this has come about is, it was back in February last year, and I've probably, you know, this I might be ploughing a bit of old ground.
But we have touched on this, but I think it's...
But the background is important. So back in February last year, I asked the mayors of Walker, Yooralla and Glen Innes to come together with me and chat about, well, What are the ground rules going to be around the renewable energy zone? Because from a local government perspective, because all of the renewable energy zone, where if the developments are state significant developments, which means that all of the approvals process comes through the state government, local council doesn't have a say. The transmission lines are state significant infrastructure. Again, state government approved, councils don't have a say. And unless we stood together as a block, we would end up with nothing. And that was certainly the attitude that the state government was taking, the Department of Planning was taking, and the energy corporation that's building the transmission line was taking. Look, state, local government, you're just an irritant. So we decided if we're going to be an irritant, we'll be a bigger irritant, an unignorable irritant. Yeah. And so the four mayors, and then we got Inverell involved as well, we put together a statement of expectations, and we shared that far and wide, so that became law, L-O-R-E, and with initial pushback from the developers, initial pushback from EnergyCo, the Department of Planning, you know, what are you guys trying to set these rules for? But it worked. And it really did work. And most specifically, it worked around extracting a dividend, if you like, from the new renewable developers. So that if they come to town, that the minimum expectation is 1.5% of construction cost is paid as a community benefit. There's no requirement for them to pay anything. So my first negotiation, we had a solar group, said, no, we don't have to do anything. By the end of the meeting, they'd agreed to 1.6% of construction cost.
And I guess this will cover a whole lot. I mean, this isn't just money in your pockets, is it? Because when you have substantial construction, there's always wear and tear on roads, which perhaps aren't used to carrying that sort of level of transport. There's a lot of things, aren't there?
There are, but those things are outside of this. That 1.5% that we advocated for is for intergenerational benefit.
This is not covering council roads.
Not covering roads. Those road agreements and engineering agreements will be separate.
Right.
So the idea behind it was, or is, that that will be invested, won't go into consolidated revenue for council. It will be invested in income-producing assets to provide intergenerational benefit, because the region is going to be fundamentally changed. So you'll see something else come out in the next council meeting that'll give you more clues as to where we're headed with that. But in terms of becoming an irritant, I then got the Central West Arana Renewable Energy Zone on board, all those councils, the Hunter Res as well. And we're now at a position where the state government is looking at writing this into the legislation, or the wind and solar guidelines.
Oh, that's good.
Which is brilliant, because now our idea, or my idea, has become their idea. Nothing can be better with it where your idea
absolutely
is actually where someone else owns it.
Mm.
so the LORE law is probably going to become LAW law. Anyway, so we have some wind developers have come to us and said, look, we understand what the expectation is, but there is no Armidale Regional Council position on this. You're just relying on what you put together with the New England mayor's statement of expectations. So it's timely that we have an Armidale Regional Council position on this, and we will see the other councils probably adopt similar things in coming months. So, and that is, it's fairly generic, but it just states minimum expectation is 1.5% of construction costs.
And I did see in the blurb for this, it really is ultimately about leading to Armidale Council, Armidale Regional Council having a policy position and a stated policy position.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, that's excellent. It's very interesting to me, and I was immediately thinking about what, in part, this may be covering, as I say, road damage,
no,
et cetera. But it's interesting to hear that this is being set up for future
benefit.
For
the future. Mm. And when we speak next month, there will have been another piece of this jigsaw puzzle revealed.
An interesting one. A gentleman by the name of David Peters is proposing to build what he's describing as a food dehydration faction, is it, at Llangollen, and which he's saying will provide employment, use produce in the region, a whole lot of things. But what I thought was, and what caught my attention, was the fact, given this, there's a fairly divisive issue about the rail trail, keeping the lines, having the trail in Armidale, that he would like the railway line back, at least to Llangollen, and is proposing to put some money towards that if it can happen.
Yeah, sure. I had the opportunity to meet with David Peters this time last week. So listen to him, you know, talk about his proposal. I think there's plenty of golf left in it, as people say. But, you know, he's talking about that Llangollen as an option, Tenterfield as an option, and Bordertown in South Australia as an option for the factory. Pretty hard to find anything out about him and about his businesses, so a little bit of a mystery there. But you know, as I've stated, I'm all for business and all for employment. So
if it stacks up,
yeah, if it stacks up, so. Mm. You know, more power to him.
Just to finish, one last one, and I think this would be the second, maybe the third time I've asked you, but any update on the Kempsey Road?
We will be asking this for 4 years. So, yes, there's always updates on the Kempsey Road. I can't recall what the most recent monthly update is. It's a four-year build. There is a steering committee set up that meets every month, and that involves Transport for New South Wales, the contractors, council, risk management, finance, state government. This steering committee is together just to make sure that everything is progressing as it should.
Is this something that could be flagged at the local government conference, or is it really outside of there?
There's no problem.
Only because it's taken a long time. Funding's been slow, all of those.
No, funding's already been committed, right. $408 million, right. And construction has started. Yeah. So $408 million is a hell of a lot of money, and which I guess is indicative of the size of the project, which is the largest contract any New South Wales local council has taken on the management of, hence a lot of support from Transport for New South Wales, state government, et cetera, to make sure that, you know, the project is delivered.
I've been talking with our regional council mayor, Sam Copeland. Thanks as always for coming in and having a chat and bringing us up to date with what's happening from the council's perspective and more generally in the region. Appreciate it, and see you next month.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, bye.